Well, it's time for In the Chains, the UK-based podcast for amateur disc golfers. Get ready for course reviews, disc reviews, and the latest news and updates from the disc golf world. Your hosts will also talk about their own progression and have a lot of fun along the way. And now, here they are, two Brits and one Yang. Let's get started.
Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode of In the Chains. On the tee box tonight with me, we have the Birmingham Slam, Mr. Josh Birmingham.
What's up, sir?
And the shit at disc golf, Tom Bowen.
How original.
Okay, I'm saying that, I'm thinking that's exactly what I was thinking about my own game yesterday.
All right, we'll start the show a bit different then. So what you been up to, Duffy?
Losing and not doing very well at disc golf. Basically, doing all right from tee to green and then just being an absolute wimp when it comes to putting and then not being able to correct
it. Whoa.
Yep, it's true.
Last week...
The envy has not saved him.
The envy?
To be honest, in all honesty, I don't think it was so much my putting. I didn't hit as many putts as I have been putting, but they've only been missing by a little bit, and I have been getting pretty close, even the ones that missed. It's more, I was saying to Josh before we come on air, it's more like the 100 to 150 foot range. Like, rather than just throw a layup under the basket and then drop it in, whether the disc isn't rotating enough or something, but it just drops like halfway and it leaves me with like a 50 foot putt, and then I miss that, and then it's like, so I pick up like an extra shot every time I leave it that far away from the basket. So I'd be better off just positioning the disc about bloody 200 to 220 feet away, and I'd definitely take a two then. But it's just that range, and it's something I need to practice, but I just can't get it right, and it drives me at the wall. So I was pretty frustrated yesterday. But
it looked like you finished close to your rating, though. So
yeah,
as long as you fix that, you'll be sailing.
Yeah, the ratings were a lot higher because everybody else didn't do that well, like, in the higher divisions, basically.
Is that what it was? So everyone had shit day.
Well, everybody towards the top didn't do as well, which bumped everybody else's averages up, I think. It was a good course. Obviously, I played it before, but it was a good tournament. It was very muddy. I went and played it on Wednesday, and on Wednesday, the course that had been laid out in the email had changed considerably, and they like put new tee pads in, new baskets in.
Like, was that because of the storm?
Because of the rain, basically. Not so much the storm, it's just how much standing water there was there. Some of the baskets were literally in like the middle of a lake, basically. So they've had to move the baskets and stuff. And
did that make it harder?
It was more difficult than a normal layout, I would say. But because it just made the lines a lot different. Even moving the tee pad only by sort of 2-3 meters some of the times, it just made there was trees coming into play that never really come into play before, and it just made it a bit harder.
It's a tight course as is, yeah. So I imagine the smallest change is just monumental.
It amplifies it, doesn't it? Overall. I wasn't happy, but I wasn't unhappy with my first round. But the second round was just shit, basically.
But you still scored your rating.
But I still scored around my rating, not if it one up or down, or I can't remember which way it is. But
in your first tournament of the year.
Yeah.
So
I can't be too upset, but
no.
Yeah, get the nerves out, not have to pay for it too much.
Yeah. But in terms of the team, I put a little Instagram post and Facebook post on yesterday. We had an almost full team turnout for it. We had Dennis playing in the MA40, which you may have seen, took home the win.
For the first time, with not being the only competitor in the field. It was a lot of people, actually. He beat...
No, he did win in the MA4, the Wembley Open last year.
I know, I'm just giving him a hard time.
Well, I'm all for giving him a hard time. I didn't realise that's what we were doing.
Thank you for stealing my news, anyway.
Dennis did really well. His first time playing in MA40, and also is the first in the chains team winner, basically. First person to win in the chains pillars.
He gets that £1,000 bonus.
He gets that bonus, yeah.
But, nice. I'll
give him that. It's just one pat on the back.
It's written in the contract.
Yeah.
You can't refuse it.
Bella Tate played in MPO.
I saw that.
I think
she did pretty good.
Yeah, she did well.
She did really well.
She started really well. She was like third, like halfway or most of the way through the first round, I think. And then drifted down a little bit and then pulled it back a little bit. I think she finished tied sixth, tied seventh.
I really wanted to make a joke. And I'm still going to say what I was going to say, but I just feel bad because I really like him. But she beat Flo.
Yeah.
Sorry, Flo.
But I don't think Flo had the best of times. But
okay. I don't want to rub it in.
But it is a nice chat, though, Flo. I don't think anybody could have a bad word to say about him.
Yeah. Well, the two of them, yeah, they're great.
Yeah. So Bella did really well. And then the other... team member was Matt Lee, competing in MA3 in the same division as me. He went to a party. So I think he turned up a bit tired on the Sunday morning, and his first round was left a bit to be desired by his standards, because he's a pretty decent player. In all honesty, he's beaten me the last four, five times we've played. I don't even think I've ever beaten him. I think we tied once and he's beaten me every time since. So I was thinking, oh, I've got a chance of beating him here. And then his second round, he put a real good round in the second round and pulled himself up from bottom to, was it tied fourth?
Tied fourth.
With Ryan Gardner from Team LDGC. I just like saying it in my southern accent, LDGC.
LDGC. For the first sort of proper tournament, we had a really good outing. I think there's quite a few of the team going down to Mendip Masters in a week
Just keep ruining my news. Don't worry about it. That's two things striked off the list. Do you want to mention anything else?
What else you got? And the winners of the memorial. His little face. So we've got a few people going down to that. I'm not going down to it, and I don't think Bowen is either. But I think most of the rest of the team will be going down.
Are you not going?
No, I'm not going to that one.
Oh, I said I might turn up Sunday and annoy people.
So, people will be pleased.
What are you doing on the Sunday?
I'm not sure.
You want to come down with me in the new van?
That's tempting. Bloody hell. Well, not in the new van.
The new van.
that should be good. Hopefully, see if somebody else can pick up another win. It was a good day. It was a good day. It was nice to just play a one dayer for a change, because everything at the moment that's coming out seems to be over 2 days, and it's quite nice, especially for a local course, because like I'd left the house about 7:30 and I was back for about 2-ish, something like that.
Oh, yeah,
so
it's
like it didn't take up the whole day, and that was for 2 rounds, so it was quite nice. I quite enjoyed sort of short and sweet, and but still get plenty of disc golfing and full tournament nights.
That's the opposite for me, because I try and stay away from my family as much as possible. So I'd rather have the 2 days.
He says that and then doesn't do any 2 days, because quite rightly he looks after his little girl. So he gives out this bravado, But in reality, the whole is him not playing 2-day events is because he wants to be a good dad and he wants to like spend time with his little girl. And then he comes on here giving him the big one, saying, "Oh, I don't care about my family." Where in reality, he does.
I do. But I have two.
There you go.
I'm doing 2 tournaments this year, guaranteed. And maybe, probably none for the rest of the year. And both of them are 2-dayers.
Nice. What have you been up to?
Me? Not a lot, really.
You got a new van?
I haven't got it yet, but it's all confirmed, and I'm picking it up next week. That's the only exciting news.
Oh, it's exciting.
Hmm. What? Like, what?
After you paid that guy to hit you.
Yeah, no. I was getting a new van anyway. Like, it was company.
Yeah.
I had a company car. That went back because it was over mileage. I've been in a normal works van, so looking like a puff.
When you get a new van, do you get to go like test drive it, or they're just like, "This is the van you're getting"?
I chose it, so I know what I wanted.
Did you walk around it, try to sleep in the back, make sure everything was good?
I haven't seen it yet, but I've got to go to King's Lynn to pick it up, so it'll be...
That's a fair old trek.
Yeah, I know. See, like, literally... They're like rocking all shit at the moment, so.
So how are you getting there?
My gaffer's driving me down.
Nice.
And then I might catch a train. The other option's catching a train.
I'm just thinking, like, you've got to spend, what, best part of 3 hours, probably more than that, in the van with your gaffer. He is going to be doing his, you ain't going to have a job by the end of it.
It's not, trust me, it's not him that's got to suffer. It's definitely me. I love my boss, but I was telling the lads a couple of stories before I came online. And he'll tell you one thing, and then like 2 minutes later, word for word, he'll tell you the exact same thing. And like, he's in the office downstairs. He's got his own office. I could not work there if he was upstairs with us because it would just drive me crazy. Like, he'll come up every single month. Not that anyone's bothered about this. The end of every month is invoicing. Got to get your invoices in so we get paid. You wouldn't know it because every month he comes up and says how important invoicing is. It's not as if I haven't been there a while and I know every month I need to invoice. But he still tells me it's important every month. He's just one of them blokes. It's hard to explain, but he repeats himself like 5 times a day.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel his pain because doing the shop and stuff, I like feel like I have to keep reminding you to do different bits and bobs.
I'm not even,
it doesn't get done.
I'm not even going to bite at that.
Like. No, because you've got no comeback because you've got no answer for it.
Duffy does the front end. No. Duffy does the front end where discs don't actually turn up. I do the back end, and currently we have 100% record on discs.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
So, just we don't have 100% on discs that we receive, do we, Duff?
No.
Don't start me on that.
Do you want to talk? We've got to get around to what Josh has done, but do you want to just explain what happened?
Everybody knows. See it on Facebook.
Well, I'll just jump in. I will keep it short and sweet. I went and practiced putting today after work, and wouldn't you know it, I'm laying out my markers, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 meters. And I take, you know, 5 putts from each, and I'm going back just warming up. And I get to the 10th meter, and I'm putting, and I take 1 step back. And what do I step in?
Dog crap.
I just don't understand.
Croydon
mud.
You're like a something, magnet? You're like a magnet for it?
Something in a past life I've done, like maybe something to a dog. That I should have done.
That's
I love
why you
dogs.
Have to leave Georgia in a hurry.
Yeah, they wouldn't let me move to Wales either.
Give me the consistency of it. Was it soft? Was it a crunchy on the outside, soft on the inside? What was it?
It was actually all right. It was like just aged enough to not really be too sticky. So it was all right. I flicked most of it away with a stick and kept on about my business. But
with the
anyway.
With the Adidas on as well.
Yeah, and I just washed them.
Oh, no. I bet you she weren't happy when you got back.
No, I put them on the shoe dryer and put them in the window. No, I'm kidding. Just heated it up.
Let it waft through the house.
Yeah, like a scented candle. Nah.
This candle smells like shit, Josh.
Because it is.
It is shit, Josh.
But yeah.
Okay, so you haven't really played much. You're just practicing putting, or
what, hang on. I saw you spinning round in a circle on Facebook the other day. What was all that about?
Well, I'm really good at disc golf, so people always want handicaps when we're playing for tags. I'm joking, by the way. Channeling my inner Jordan Castro. Anyway, no, so we were doing handicap round for just like tags, Croydon tags, and someone said they didn't want like a normal just stroke handicap. They wanted me to do like, they wanted three wishes for the round against me. So basically they could swap their lie with mine or make me do something dumb. And one of them was to spin around 15 times on the tee box right before I threw. So I still got a par. So, but yeah, it was good.
How was that first?
Which hole was it on?
Yeah.
The first, well, it's hole 13, kind of like downhill at Croydon, real short, maybe like 300 feet. And I always take a big hyzer over the trees when you could just play straight down the hill quite easily. So it wasn't actually that bad. But anyway.
Nice.
a bit of fun anyway.
It was good.
So I think that's all the sort of the usual waffly shit that we talk at the start of the show out the way.
How long did that go on for this week?
We've got about 18 minutes. That keeps getting longer and longer. I noticed that short and sweet what we've been doing this week. So, before we go into the news, as always, we'll just have a quick word from our sponsor.
Since 2011, Upper Park Disc Golf has focused on disc golf bags and accessories with unique styles, innovative designs, and unmatched comfort. They use cutting-edge design techniques and durable outdoor materials with a lifetime guarantee, so you can focus on what really matters. Keeping it in the chains. Whether you're a Bowen or a seasoned pro, Upper Park has the bag to fit your needs. Go to upperparkdiscgolf.com today and save 10% with our code INTHECHAINS10. Now back to the show.
Okay, now over to everybody's least favorite segment.
Least factually correct.
Bowen's fake news. News. Fake news.
Right, so first things first, let's talk pro tour news. It was we had the memorial at Scottsdale, Arizona. I was going to say the preserve just to wind you two up, but I couldn't remember the name of it.
You couldn't even joke.
That's amazing.
In MPO, Paul McBeth won comfortably, scoring 40 under for, was it four rounds?
Yeah.
It was four rounds. Yep. He scored a 16 under on round one, which was 1108 rated.
16 under.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? And I think he maintained the lead throughout the weekend, didn't he, Josh?
He did. I watched the first three rounds, and this comes out on Thursday, so the last round will be out by then, but we haven't seen it yet because it's not out, so not on us.
Yeah, there we go. Anthony Barella came in second, and Aaron Gossage came in third, so...
That kid is, like, good. I don't know how old he is. I'm thinking he's probably early 20s.
The thing is, but everyone's younger than you now, Josh.
Oh, I know. It's not very good. but no, I watched him on round three, and he was just on fire. Like, he couldn't miss a drive. He was just parking everything and hitting all the putts. He did have two, what I call elevator putts, where the disc just goes straight up vertically out of your hand and like just banded it twice from like 10 feet, or else he would have been like, I think he would have been tied with Barella after round three.
Barella started all right. He started the season out pretty decent.
He can't pop, yeah. I mean, though, can he?
That's what people say. But he, like what I've seen, whenever I've seen him this so far this season, he looks pretty solid all the way around.
He can putt. It's just, but when he misses, it's another full length putt from, yeah, you know, he's putting same distance or not, if maybe farther.
The only thing I've seen him on is the putting game, and I think I could have scored better than him on that video. Did you see that one? Did you? He scored. No. Like, he got like one in, I think, out of all of them. Have you seen it? Have you, Duff?
I've seen quite a lot of them. I don't know if I've seen that one.
Who? Apparently, he's the farthest thrower on the tour.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got an arm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's his game, you know. Yeah. But can you name a more? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
What Bowen was saying about being too old now. I was actually having this conversation yesterday with my friend of mine who was coming around to watch football.
I hope this is where I think it's going.
Probably not. Oh. But we were saying, literally, we are now, like, after sort of 27, 28, we basically can write off any sporting career.
Yes. When you're sort of age, you've still got the thought in the back of your head, I could get signed to like a Premiership team or a Premier League team. Now we've got done. A
chance.
We're done.
I think there's literally no chance now,
except in golf. Golf is a sport that you, because Paul's like 35, 36, and he's just won a tournament. So
is in disc golf or regular golf?
Either one, because I feel like as you get older, like you Jimenez, get more wise. Jimenez.
Who's
on the course, and you start making smart decisions, that goes a lot further than just being able to rip it as a kid, you know?
Who's the really old one, the American? What's his name?
Tom.
Brady?
No.
I know what you mean. He had a really good tournament, like, about 4 or 5 years ago, and he was quite close to winning it. I know what you mean.
Golf? Ball golf?
Ball golf, yeah. Who's the old one who plays?
Oh, yeah. South African guy, right?
No, American.
Oh.
Shit, I don't know.
Leave it, because we're not going to get it.
I'll tell you who is old, who's still playing. Lee Westwood's old. He's still going. He's in his 40s, and he's still really good. They're all old.
Yeah, I don't know. It is depressing, isn't it, when you think
Phil Mickelson?
Phil Mickelson.
No, it's not him who I was on about.
That's who I was on about. Don't tell me who I'm on about.
but basically, yeah, I feel like in disc golf, you know, obviously mid-30s is peak, prime.
Is that because you're more relaxed, do you think? You've got a better, stronger mental game and
experience, yeah, everything.
Yeah,
I think there's an argument for being young, that you haven't lost any battles, you haven't been hurt. So,
well, that was the Gannon, the thing we were talking about last week, where he, you know, hasn't had enough bad things happen to him to fear missing that death putt.
Exactly.
And it's like, but that's also the reason why he'll lose, because he doesn't respect it every time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He would have won. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't matter. But yeah, I think experience and age in golf, at least, maybe not in your other sports where, like, it's more physically, you know, demanding.
So, is what you're saying that you can get distance from technique alone, you don't need any power?
Well, you know, like, the people that can throw far, they're not winning on just that alone.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
I suppose that's a good point. That's a good point. Right, so FPO was won by the one and only European lady who is the best disc golfer in the world at the moment, Kristen Tatar.
I believe it.
How long she... Because I was looking on her Instagram the other week, and she's only spending a few weeks in America this time round as well, I think. I don't think she's here for the whole season.
Maybe she'll come back at the end for, like, Worlds or something.
She's doing a smash and grab, ain't she, where she beats all the Americans on their own turf, goes home for a bit, and has made more money than all of them the whole season.
Maybe she's trying to win her ticket to to Worlds.
Mm-hmm. And then doesn't have to come back till later in the season.
Yeah.
Sammy was... I'm sure it was Sammy. I was talking to Sammy, one of the In the Chains team guys.
What's his last name?
Avaluatu.
Okay, I'll let you off.
And he'll still say that's wrong. He says it's wrong all the time, and I think he just makes it up just to hear me keep saying it.
There's too many vowels in their names, isn't there?
But he was saying that it seems to be, the schedule seems to align pretty well to be able to go and have quite a long time over in the States, come back and play quite a bit of the European tour, then go back over to this, and it seems to align itself quite nicely. So whether there is plans to sort of go back and come and play the European tour, then go back over and for sort of largest segments, so you're not going over for a week or so to play a tournament and coming back. You can go over, play through a block of three or four tournaments, come back, play two or three, and then go
and then go back. And, yeah,
yeah.
Do you got any Euro Tour news in there?
I ain't got any in there.
I knew he wouldn't.
Well, only because we're just talking about it now, but the first Euro Tour event just took place.
Is that the one that Derek Robbins won the MP60? Yeah. So Derek Robbins won the MP60, and that was, where was that, Josh?
It was the Pro Forester event in Varaždin, Croatia.
There we go, in Croatia. So congratulations.
Varaždin?
Derek.
Varaždin?
But we all know, though, Bowen's ageist anyway, so he doesn't like the fact that there's an MP60 division.
I've got no issue with divisions. It's about numbers of players in each division. So, what's the point in having 10 MP70s there's no MP70s in the country? Why have
I started him?
Yeah, you started this.
Talking of MP70s, I remember the name of that disc golfer now. Tom Watson.
Yeah.
And he's an old boy playing, and he come close to winning a tournament, I think, about 4 or 5 years ago. But he was like 60s, I think.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've stopped you mid-flow, but it's just I remembered who it was.
It's all right. Jennifer Allen came in second, and friend of the show, Owen Scoggins, came in third.
I feel like she is the best putter, hands down, like either MPO or FPO. Like, I guarantee you, if she's in circle two, she's hitting metal and or making it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, she said that she ain't got the power, didn't she? So.
Yeah. I mean, she can, it looked like she could throw between like 320, 350 on a good shot, which on some of these courses isn't really going to get you, you know, circle one. But yeah, she knows her strength and she knows what she needs to do to compete, and she's doing it.
Yeah.
She's showing up on podiums and, you know.
I think she's a very underrated player.
But like we said, she's getting better every year, results-wise.
Because obviously when she was on the show, she was saying about she's competing in sort of over 40 tournaments and stuff like that periodically. But the way she sort of plays her game, that will allow her to continue playing at the high level for longer than what somebody who's a bomber who can't really put.
That's the first thing that goes, right?
Yeah, the first thing that'll go will be distance, whereas she's still going to have that putting ability. And if she can, she's not going to lose too much from 350, I wouldn't have thought. So that will just keep her being able to play at the top level for longer. So I think...
Yeah, the final round of Memorial, and she was chasing, I think it was like hole 16 is the last one over the water. And she just barely didn't make it in bounds, but like she ended up taking a bogey, but then finished the last two holes birdie. And I was like, if she'd have made it over that, I think she'd have finished second.
Well,
but that's like in front of Evelina Salonen, in front of Henna Blumroos, and like, you know, just behind the best disc golfer in the FPO. So it's like, She's going to make some moves this year, guaranteed.
The thing is, if because of the size of her, if I could throw as well as her, I'd be throwing 700 foot, wouldn't I?
Yeah, she's small package.
Well, so, explosive, I suppose.
Exactly. Who, her over me? I'd say so.
If we went and played,
power's going to come from, isn't it? The explosiveness.
Yeah.
Not big, long, cumbersome arms.
I've got the acceleration of a dead cow.
But once you get up to speed,
Duffy knows.
Not on a Boris bike. You got the acceleration of a Formula One car.
Oh yeah, that's true. Next week is Waco, which is the first half decent tournament of the year, isn't it?
Thank God. I was going to say earlier, can you name a more boring tournament than Memorial?
Las Vegas?
Neither are great, but Memorial's just like, oh my God, if I have to see another 360-foot fucking flat to hyzer shot, I'm going to kill myself.
I feel like this. Well, this happened last year though as well, didn't it? We had ball golf course after ball golf course, and after long straight open drives, and you had a certain set of people winning those tournaments. And then you then moved into the sort of the more technical side of disc golf, which is what makes better viewing. So your Idlewilds, your Maple Hills, and like the Preserve and stuff like that. And it kind of feels like you just got to sort of wait that bit out, and then the actual season will start.
Yeah, but, I guess it's good in a way, because, you know, kind of gets things in motion and whatever. It warms the players up on easy-ish courses.
I like Waco because it's windy, isn't it? So you never know what you're going to get. Like, I like that. It can really mess with the scores.
There are trees and stuff.
There's trees, exactly.
Is it Waco that's got the warning at the start on the championship course? I'm sure there's one that's got like a warning,
difficulty of the course.
Yeah, but it's like a full on warning, like, don't play it, you're an idiot. If you play it and you can't play disc golf or whatever.
I don't think that's Waco. I feel like that's Maple Hill. It's not Maple Hill either. I don't remember which one it is. I definitely don't think it's Waco. I could be wrong.
So hopefully we'll soon get into the wooded courses, and like we said last year, that's when the proper disc golf starts certainly for the viewers anyway.
Trivia question: who won Waco last year?
Ooh,
Colton. Or was that the year before?
I can't remember.
Colton.
Nah. Do you know, Josh?
Nope. I kind of wanted to know. That's why I asked.
Oh, Colton Montgomery won in 2020.
Oh, didn't Ricky win it, didn't he? Because didn't he go on that spell of winning everything in Texas? Oh,
it was Nico.
Oh, yes, it was. Yeah, it was, because it was his first tournament back, I think, wasn't it?
That's the one. Is that the one where he made that?
Across the water on 18.
He made that crazy putt on like 17, yes, and then like turned around the camera was like, woo!
Yeah,
suck
started
it.
Running back.
Can we stop talking about him?
Oh, he's fine.
Yeah, then across the water for 18, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, pretty much. It was. Because of the wind wasn't right, pretty much nobody attempted it.
It was pretty sick, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I am excited for Waco. See some real golf.
Yeah. So we had mini muds at Gillies, which is the Midland one-day series, I think, isn't it?
Yep.
And that was organised by Rich Hatton of DG UK fame. MPO was won by Ryan Ford, who beat said Rich Hatton in a playoff, with John Tweed coming in third. And congratulations to Bella for mixing it up with the blokes, coming in joint sixth.
Excellent.
Sue Underwood won FPO. MA40, I'm only going to say this once, because I don't want his head to get too big, was won by Dennis Jones. We've already spoke about that. MA2 was won by Shane Cooper.
Well done.
MA3 was won by Tom Messenger. Not going to tell you who he's brother with, because someone else who is an enemy.
I keep going, sorry.
Matt Lee came in fourth and Duffy came in seventh. Just to add, Harry Messenger isn't an enemy. That was meant as a joke, but neither of you two laughed, so I don't want the audience to think.
Sorry, I got a little bit distracted because I wanted to ask a question.
What was the question?
Given the score differential between the divisions, were there too many divisions?
They were all very tight, weren't they?
Like, yeah, the winners of one and the winners of another, like, almost the same.
Maybe.
But there's you're putting a different headspace when you enter that division. So it's like, maybe you wouldn't have done as good. Had you bumped up?
Duffy should have played in MA4.
If there was only, like, say, MA2, that was the lowest it went down to, I probably wouldn't have played in it, but Josh. So I kind of feel like you do need all the divisions if you want to sort of open it up to sort of
this is just devil's advocate. I don't really have an opinion.
You're a pro and you're an elitist, and we don't want you on the show anymore.
This question was asked by someone else that is not in the pro division.
Yeah, we can all do that, Josh. We can all say other people have asked it, and it's not
name
me.
Names. if it was someone else, name the name.
Do you want me to do the rhyme thing?
Do the rhyme thing.
Shmadam Shmashmori.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. it's a fair question, though. Like, I...
Yeah, no, it is a valid question, and it probably is the right... You're probably right.
Well, I disagree.
I don't think he thinks that. I think he was just posing the question, given that the scores were so close.
Yeah. No, I do tend to agree, but equally, I feel like if you just put MA2 in there and have sort of one MA2 and MPO, for instance, in the mixed categories, I feel like you're going to lose people at the lower end of the spectrum. Their MA4, the MA3 will be put off because they'll think, "Well, what's the point in me going?
What's this sport becoming? If you don't give beginners an opportunity to enter a tournament." We ain't going to have any new people joining.
I mean, this is a huge can of worms, but...
Yeah, it is, and it's going to boil down to me kicking off again.
Shut the can.
But the... see, the thing is, like, I'm sure if you ask people in MA4, would you rather play in a division of four, but all be of similar sort of calibre... Or go into a bigger division, one amateur division, for instance, and you are in the bottom three, in placing pretty much guaranteed out of, like, I don't know, 20 people. I'm sure they would take competing just against four people and at least having a chance of winning. I know I certainly would in MA3. So, when the scores are so close, you kind of do feel like that.
I think more of the problem is baggers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we won't get into that.
And then Paulos, I'm not going to even attempt his last name. We know him, we played a few times with him.
Yeah, one MA4. Nice lad.
One MA4, so congratulations.
Excellente.
It really fucking winds me up that all these people are coming out and calling out there should be one amateur division. Everyone has to start somewhere. A lot of these people, where the hell did you start? So don't come at me with why are there so many divisions? Like, if you want to come up and have a discussion where a shout in your face, come up and see me in person.
Okay. All right. Well, I can answer this. I don't know if you're going to like it. But so,
please wind it up, Josh.
This is just how I feel. But everyone, yes, does have to start somewhere, and I get that. But if you're an amateur and you're working your way, you know, say it's just MA1, and you're working your way up, and you finished in the bottom first year, second year, you're like maybe 2/3 of the way down. The third year, you might be top third. And maybe pushing for a win. And the next thing you know, you're in the mix. But it's like, why should you be awarded anything after playing a sport for 1 year when you don't even know if that's, you know, a thing you want to continue to do. You've got to earn your spot. It's not, you can literally play 6 months, join MA4, and...
Of course I can, because it's my fucking money. So if I want to fucking pay to get a bullshit award in MA4, I'm going to fucking do it, and you're not going to tell me I'm not allowed to do it?
Okay, that's great. However, what if MA4 didn't exist ever, and you had to start in MA1?
It's all
and
right.
You're saying you like disc golf, but you're not knowing these divisions exist, you're just not going to play.
I'm hardly playing any tournaments anyway. I'm doing it just for fun. And the only tournaments I'm playing,
I can't
enter MA4. So I have to enter MA3, which I know I stand no hope in hell of winning. But so what?
I'm just saying, people need to put their time in.
Before they feel like
they need to win some shit.
The BDGA is already trying to erase MA4 out the history books. So I didn't
to give more room to people that have dedicated more time and energy.
I didn't know you were one of them, Josh, but now I know where you stand.
The thing is though, Josh, I've played, I mean, I know the people who've played for years and years and years, but I've played pretty solidly at least once a week, probably twice a week for about 2 years now. And I'm still nowhere near fucking winning an MA3 division. So I'd be playing for, like, at this rate, I'd be playing for about 15 years before I started competing and, like, having a chance of winning.
And you need to take what I'm saying with a grain of salt as well. Like, it's I can
see both sides of it. I sort of sit more with Bowen, definitely. But I can see the argument from the other side. But I just think my sort of two pennies worth on it is we've done it to death, really. But like, what harm's it doing anybody having an MA4 division? If it's doing good and keeping people interested, it's not really doing any harm, is it? So it's got to be good for the sport. That's my view on it as well.
MA4 and MA3 seem to prop all these tournaments up by having more entrants in than any of the other divisions. So, yes, you could get rid of it and just say an all amateur one. But they'll still, and this is nothing against any MPOs or FPOs, they still outweigh all the other competitors. And of course, you're going to have that pyramid where you've got the top players. But like, a lot of these players need to come out and think, hang on, if we don't have the shit players there, we ain't gonna have fucking tournaments. So
the shit players.
I can say that because
thanks for it.
I can say that because I'm one of the worst of the worst. I understand that.
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously we want everyone to come and play and feel like they've got a chance to win. I'm just saying, when you complain about not being MA4 at champs, that's only because they need to give the spots to people that have been playing longer. And
But then I was nearly on the invite list for fucking champs. I'm not a BDJ member and I'm an MA4 player. So tell me where the sense in that is.
You could have still played. You just wouldn't have been able to win a trophy.
Exactly. It's like, it just don't make sense that everyone's talking all this big talk. Oh, it shouldn't be there. Go and fill a full fucking champs with your people that you want to fill it with. You can't do it, so you have to rely on the shit people anyway.
I just don't think... I think people would still come and play in a higher division.
It's easy to say we should have no amateur divisions, we should do this. We're not America, we're not that lucky. You're going to have to put up with mingling with the fucking povs.
I guess that's it, isn't it?
You're going to have to put up with it.
Well, that... And you're making... It's funny, but you're making a good point there. It's like, there are a lot more people playing in the States at the moment. And even, you know, percentage-wise, you know, per capita or whatever you want to say. But we are still in the growth stage. So, yes, it is good to have those divisions. But as it gets more popular and as people get better, those top divisions will start filling out. And then there will be less space. And then maybe at that point... Well, they've already gotten the separate tours, so
Josh,
that's a good step.
Josh, I know that I'm fairly new to this disc golf malarkey, but I've read things over the years. they've been waffling the shit about all amateur for years, and it still hasn't happened.
You have a couple of proponents.
The growth's not coming. I'm not going to name names because I get on all right with these people, but
Schmame Schmooten.
I'm not naming names. I'm not getting involved. But people have been going on about all amateur. Oh, we need more MPO this. We need more MPO that. They can't even fill out fucking tournaments. And this is as a collective.
I've never heard anyone say we need more MPO anything. I think what they're saying is we need less MA4.
But fill out tournaments with the other divisions. And then you can come talk to
me. I agree with MA4, Josh.
Yes, and I sort of do.
I'm only joking. I just wanted Bowen to buy it.
I'm probably...
You're the best disc offer that's played for 6 hours in the UK.
I'm not an MA. If you look at the rules, that was quite funny.
Yeah.
If you look at the rules, I shouldn't be playing MA4, not because of my skill level, but because of my experience level. I should be playing MA3. I do sort of think that MA4, the way I do it, I'd have MA4 only tournaments with a couple of experienced people to show the way. But it's the first step towards your tournament.
Is MA4? That's it. So we don't need like an MA5 like down the road.
What? Stop being a dickhead here.
But what? Like that? But I know I moaned at you a minute ago, and I was wrong. I admit that. But what? The idea from when we spoke to the BDGA was that they were going to sort of make the MA4 a more local sort of, and I'm explaining this really badly, but done it at a more local level effectively. So a bit more like
regionally,
what the guys at Arrow Valley are doing, what Ollie's doing at Wembley. And
the Great Western Tour.
Yeah.
To talk about that, to be fair, but...
And yeah. having sort of MA4 competitions within a sort of certain area. And then, like, I don't know if Ollie does this at the end of his season down at Wembley. I don't think he does, or didn't last year. But, like, what Arrow Valley do, they have, like, championships at the end of the year. And that's something that you can work up to. And that's kind of what the BDGA are saying, that you have the amateur, so... That the MA4 and MA3 that people play locally within like a game with the Arrow Valley group,
but they're having to use MA3 to prop up all their other tournaments.
Yeah, I mean it is always the biggest division, and it's because it's a growing thing here. And so, give that 2 years, they're all going to be up in MA2.
Yeah,
and but then have a batch of MA4s and 3s.
But then the MA3, there'll be even more MA3s going around.
Yeah, and then you're going to have even more MA2s, and then even more MA1s, and then even more Opens. And then at that point, when you do a championship thing at the end of the year, you want the best. You don't want to give spots to the bottom. You want to see the best play from top down.
It's not a mean thing.
You know what I mean?
We're not at that stage yet, though, Josh.
But yeah, I know.
But hopefully at that point we'll have more listeners, and we will be able to have more people saying, "What the fucking hell's he on about?"
Who, me or you?
Everyone.
You read into that what you want.
Everything I have said has been pretty much factually correct.
This is a very MA4 podcast.
Josh has been dragged down by us.
Well, that's crazy. All right, so we were going to talk about tombstones. Maybe we should save it for...
I've still got some news to finish off, to be fair.
Oh, shit! My bad.
Arrow Valley, you've already mentioned it, have launched their season pass, and it's different levels, and it gains you different amount of entries to their tournaments. Now, there's going to be the home stuff, and there's going to be the Great Western Tour as well, which kicks off on the 15th of March, the first event, and that's at Lichfield. That is, it might be the last tournament to be played at Lichfield, so get signed up if you can. I'm not sure about that. I could be wrong, but
so,
I know.
Well, okay, so tell me the difference between the Arrow Valley League and the Great Western Tour. What's the difference?
Great Western Tour, they'll be visiting different venues. So I've read somewhere that they're going potentially Swindon Way. Does that sound right? I know
there's one
that
at Amesbury, isn't there?
Yeah, oh, there's one at Amesbury. They're visiting other courses for tournaments. Right, okay.
So the Arrow Valley League will, because last year the Arrow Valley League had about three or four events at different courses in the region. But they had about four, five, six, something like that, tournaments at Arrow Valley.
Yeah.
So the Great Western Tour will be
four events.
Exclusively not at Arrow Valley, effectively, but run by the people who are running the Arrow Valley tournament. Is that
correct?
Right?
Correct.
Got you.
Aha.
Thank God that's all you ask, because I don't have a clue about any of the rest of it.
what a guy.
And then you mentioned Memdip, which, if you ask different people on the In the Chains team, it's either the 25th to the 26th of March or the 25th to the 26th of May. Depending who you ask, it's one of them dates.
Oh.
It's March. Just to confirm. So, we've got a good show in there. You're not coming. I might be popping down, as I've already said, just to wind everyone up. Hopefully get the team a couple of wins by annoying other players enough to make them forfeit. But, yeah. There we go.
That's a strategy.
That's a bold cotton
strategy. Wait, did I just say bold cotton?
A bold strategy, Cotton. That's what he meant.
Oh, jeez. It's getting late.
Is that a beer in your hand, Josh?
No, it's water, glass. That one is.
It's water, is it?
I've already finished the beer.
But, okay, yeah.
For health reasons, you should have a glass of water after every beverage.
That's all right.
Well, podcasting can make you thirsty as well.
We could do with a sponsor, couldn't we? A drink sponsor.
Budweiser sponsor.
An energy drink sponsor.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
I don't really dig on those.
I think they're a bit gimmicky, to be honest.
Says Mr. Red Bull.
Who, me?
Wait, aren't you don't you crush energy drinks?
Not really. I have the odd one when I'm tired, but not most of the time.
I'd love a oat latte.
Oh my god, you can tell you've lived in London.
Ah, I love oat milk.
Oh my god, you are what we call a hipster.
I do like hipstery things. I wouldn't say I'm a hipster.
When are you going vegan?
Excuse me?
When do you eat?
Begin with, it'll just be one or two nights a week to begin with.
Look. I am from the South. I eat fried chicken, fucking pork chops.
Collard greens.
Well, that's vegetables. We're not talking about those right now.
But you do eat that.
Ribs.
Fried catfish.
Barbecue.
Barbecue. Ribs. I'm doing just fine in that department.
Po' boy?
Shoot your own, don't you?
I can't, no. I don't like killing animals. I like eating them.
We've got off track. Let's go back onto track.
All right, we'll cut all that.
Can we do a how hipster are you? Week. 1 week. Do you go to artisanal bakeries, do you?
Oh, see, you got me there, because it's like it's all I've got right outside my door.
What kind of bread do you eat?
Sourdough.
There is a really nice blue cheese focaccia I'm just kidding. Blue cheese is too funky. Anyway.
So I think that's it really for the news. That's me done.
Excellent. So
You do this on purpose, cause me to have a meltdown mid-show.
Triggered. we did have a show topic genuinely this week. But it's running a bit late now, so I don't think we better start it. So I think, should we call it at that? Because that's pretty much an hour now.
Yeah, I think so.
Are you telling us or are you telling the listener?
No, I'm asking your opinion. You always moan that I'd never let anybody else have a say in what goes on, but I always do.
Josh, he didn't like us interrupting you earlier. The Ayatollah is speaking.
Yeah, you better be careful. That's all I'm saying.
We've got fuck all coming to the shop because it's been stolen.
however, no, we have we got do... some stuff coming.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. That's right. We have the video that we've been talking about for about 6 weeks now. It's all edited. It's got to be uploaded to YouTube, which takes forever. And then it is good to go. So I reckon by the time this show is out, it's going to be roughly about time that the video is actually out viewable.
How do these professional YouTubers do it? Is it your internet that's the issue?
Because they have massive upload speeds on their internet.
Oh, and yours is terrible.
What boggles my mind is the football. Sorry to go off topic, but if you ever watch like football highlights on YouTube, like Sky Sports, like I'm watching, well, I've got the game on now, the Tottenham Everton game, and the highlights for this will be online in about 15 minutes after the game. In like full HD and everything.
And how and have they like, cut it?
They must cut it as they go.
Yeah.
Well, they have a team of people doing this.
Yeah, yeah. But just purely upload. Like for us, if we upload like a 30 to 40 minute video, it can take like on my internet, which isn't like ridiculously bad. It's like Virgin Media fiber broadband. And it can take like a day to upload to YouTube. And then it's got to process into HD. And it's like, I don't understand how they get it on so quick. But, yeah. Anyway,
We're going back to lizard men theory again.
Yeah, I do think that they give, like, broadcasting companies superior access to something. That's my opinion. That's
lizard,
what I think it is.
The lizard people.
And we're not privy to it. But, yeah, so we should have a video coming out. When the lizard people allow us to upload it, so keep an eye out for that. It's a good one. It's only about half. It runs about just over half an hour, I think. So it's quite watchable in one sitting. But it was good fun. It was good fun shooting. So and obviously no spoilers on who wins or loses. So go and check that out. And yeah, I think that's it. Have you got anything to say, Bowen?
No, not for once, no.
Joshua, have you got anything to say?
Yeah, if you're an MA4 player, just know I do love you. Just, you know, put some putts in and you'll be MA3.
But even MA3 don't count anymore.
No.
I'm kidding. I love everyone. I'm glad everyone's playing the game. And it's only gonna get better with more people.
Excellent.
Thank you, Josh. I got a bit shouty earlier. We're all allowed to have different views, and that is what makes us wonderful.
Right. So, we'll see you next week, everybody. Thanks for listening. And, as always, remember to keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
What?
Thanks for listening to In the Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel to view our round videos and course flythroughs. And hit subscribe there too. Until next time, keep it in the chains.